I'm going to go ahead now and introduce to you Brother Brian Blount. Most of you know him, and of course Brother Bill Blount has worked around and with Bio for several years here, and most of you know he's had a serious eye problem. They had to go in there and treat cancer and all, and I understand he's doing well. But Brother Brian is a pastor there, as Brother Lonnie showed you, in Ludington, and a good missionary church, I know that. And so we're going to ask you to come as soon as this song is done.
Amen. Yes, he alone is worthy. It's been a great week. It's I certainly appreciate the privilege to be able to be here this morning and to be in part of this meeting this week. What a great week it's been, and boy, to be able to get around some of these great men of God and just enjoy the time of fellowship together, and some men that have had some great impact in my life, and I praise the Lord for these great men that have been so faithful through the years. It's so good to see them once again, and I praise the Lord for each and every one of them. Appreciate the invitation, Dr. Dykes. Thank you so much. I count it as an honor and a privilege to be here. I praise the Lord for Bio's vision and their whole philosophy of missions and how it's so biblically based, and I praise the Lord to be part of that and be able to have good missionaries that come. We need organizations like Bio. I praise the Lord for it. And I know that when I'm looking for a missionary to come, that we want to look for missionaries to support, that I can trust Bio. And we've had so many that have come, and what have been a blessing it's been. So I praise the Lord for Bio. I praise the Lord to be part of their ministry and to be able to invest in the many missionaries that are part of Bio as well. I want you to take your Bibles this morning, if you would. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. In verse number 6, 1 Peter chapter 1, I want to read a few verses. And this morning we're going to be looking at the subject of why does the bottom sometimes fall out of life? Why are we faced with difficulties at times in our life? Look there, if you would, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 6. God's word says, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." Well, I'm thankful today to know that I'm a child of God, that I'm on my way to heaven. I'm thankful. You know, one day, literally, we're going to be walking down streets of gold. Hey, we're going to be able to be at the very presence of Jesus Christ and being able to kneel down before Him and to be able to worship Him. Can you imagine? I love Revelations chapter 4. As you see there, the events, as people are there and they're kneeling down before Jesus Christ. And boy, I look forward to the day when we're in heaven. And I look forward to the time when all our tears are going to be wiped away. There's not going to be more sickness. There's not going to be more death. Not even any more crying. Can you imagine what heaven is going to be like? And that's going to be for all eternity. You know, this life is short. It truly is. You look around and some folks I've seen this week I haven't seen in years. And some, man, they don't look like they've changed at all. I mean, it's amazing. I got to figure out their secret. Brother Holman, Dr. Holman, I need to figure out your hair secret. I'm needing some. No, I mean, you know, these folks, they don't change. And, you know, but, you know, this life is short. It goes by just like this. Time goes by so fast. You know, heaven's going to be wonderful. It's forever. Yet we're not there yet, are we? We have our eternal salvation. We know the moment I accepted Christ as my Savior, I have eternity. I know I'm on my way to heaven, but I'm here right now on this earth, aren't we? We're in a sin-sick world, a world that has a curse on it. We live in an old body that's sinful, and this world we're living in is filled with troubles and trials and difficulties that we go through. We're not in heaven yet. But you know, one day we will be there, but while we're here, I thank God that God has a purpose, God has a plan, God has the Holy Spirit that He gives to us, and He enables us to get through the life that we live. And this morning, I want for us to look at why does the bottom sometimes fall out of life? Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, I thank You and praise You. Lord, You're an awesome God, and I thank You for being a God that loves us, a merciful God, a God that is faithful to us. Lord, that You've been so long-suffering to us, Lord. And Lord, I thank you and praise you that you never leave us nor forsake us. I'm thankful that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to your purpose. Lord, I pray that you would just encourage our hearts today. Lord, I pray that you would just lift up those that maybe are going through some challenges in their life. Lord, each of these men and women that are here today, we go through difficult times, and Lord, we know that you understand about that. You were tempted in all points as we are, and you were yet without sin. And Lord, you tell us to come boldly before your throne, that we might obtain grace and mercy in time of need. And Lord, there's many that are here today that are needy. And Lord, there's many that will face these difficulties in life in the coming days. Lord, I pray that you'd encourage our hearts. We thank you, God, for being a God that is worthy of our worship and our life. Please speak to our hearts now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there are times when it seems like everything goes wrong in life. If you haven't been there, you will be. If we're living, hey, listen, we're going to have troubles in life. Job spoke of it. Every one of us, if you're born of woman, you're going to have troubles. We're going to go through difficulties. And, you know, sometimes we find ourselves in worse situations than others. I read about this gentleman. He was driving down the road, and he got pulled over by the policeman, and his brake light was out, and the policeman got out and came up there and told him what was wrong, and the man was just shaking and was all upset and worried. The policeman said, "It's not a big deal. You know, it's just a minor infraction. Your taillight's out." He says, "That's not what I'm worried about. I'm worried about that trailer that I was hauling, and where's my wife?" Oh, man. Oh, you know, we go through difficult times. I think of it's a classical story about a man that the insurance company had written him and said they needed further explanation about all the injuries that he had. And so he wrote back this letter. He says, "I'm writing in response to your request for additional information." He went on, he's saying, "Block number 3 of the accident form, I put, quote, 'trying to do the job alone' as the cause for my accident. You said in your letter that I should explain more fully that, and I trust the following details will be sufficient." He went on to say, he says, "I'm a bricklayer by trade, and on the date of the accident, I was working alone on the top of a new 6-story building, and when I completed my work, I found that I had 500 pounds of bricks left over. Well, rather than trying to carry the bricks down by hand, I decided to lower them in a barrel by using a pulley, which fortunately was attached to the building on the 6th floor. And so I secured the rope on the bottom level, and I went back up to the top, and I put all the 600 pounds into that barrel, and I swung the barrel over there, and then I went down to the ground, and I grabbed onto that rope real tightly to ensure the slow descent of the 500 pounds of bricks. And you'll note that block number 11 of the accident report that I marked down that I weigh 135 pounds. Well, to my surprise, after being jerked off the ground so suddenly, I lost my presence of mind and I forgot to let go of the rope. Needless to say, I proceeded at a rather rapid rate to up the side of the building, and in the vicinity of about the 3rd floor, I met the barrel coming down. This explains the fractured skull and broken collarbone. Slowed only slightly, I continued rapidly ascending all the way up to the top until I had 2 fingers deep into the pulley. In spite of my pain, I held on. Fortunately, I didn't let go of the rope. Unfortunately, at approximately the same time, the barrel of bricks hit the ground, the bottom fell out of the barrel, and devoid of the weight of the bricks in the barrel weighed about 50 pounds, and I refer back to, again, block 11 of the form, I weigh 135. At that, you might imagine, I began a rapid descent down the side of the building. In the vicinity about the 3rd floor, I met the barrel coming up. This accounts for the 2 fractured ankles and the lacerations of my leg and lower body area. The encounter with the barrel slowed me enough to lessen my injuries, though. When I fell on the pile of bricks on the ground, I only broke 3 vertebrae. I'm sorry to report, however, though, as I hit the ground and I lost my mind once again with all the pain, I let go of the rope. And watching the empty barrel 6 stories above me, I again lost my presence, and there I was, and that empty barrel came down on me and broke both my legs. I sure hope that the furnished information helps you with what you require with my insurance claim. You know, maybe you're not going through such a bad time as what this guy went through, but you know, we go through difficult times in life, don't we? I mean, we face difficult situations. There have been times in our life that we go through when the bottom literally drops out of our life. And the question we often ask when we go through those difficult times is this: why? Why are we going through this? God, I've been faithful to you. God, why am I going through this? That might be one question that you ask. God, why would you allow this to happen in my life? God, what have I done? Why are you letting this happen to me? God, why? You know, as Christians, there's nothing wrong with asking the question why if we have the right attitude when we ask it. We oftentimes, we ask that. Why, God? Why, God? Why are we going through this? You know, there's a lot of questions that we ask the question why. Some there's a good question we should ask the questions why. Like, I mean, having some fun with it. Why did Mrs. Howard bring so many clothing on a 3-hour trip? You all with me? You know, I mean, if you're at Gilligan's Island, all right, I'm making sure. Why do you buy something that takes 2,000 flushes to get rid of it? You ever thought about things like that? I mean, why don't they make mouse-flavored cat food? I don't understand why they don't do that. You know, why do they lock the bathrooms at the gas station? Are they afraid somebody's going to clean it? I mean, why? Now, I know I'm trying to have some fun in a serious matter. Sometimes it's good to stop and laugh a little bit. But seriously, there's questions we have that are a lot more difficult than these questions, aren't they? Why are we going through this, God? Why are you allowing me to face this situation? Why am I at the bottom of this situation in my life, the bottom of the barrel, or why is the bottom dropped out of my life? You know, I believe that Peter gives us an explanation here that would help us this morning. I want you to notice with me here from our text that he describes, number one, trials that are painful in their encounter. Trials that are painful in their encounter. We see there in verse number six, that Peter, he speaks of heaviness that comes through manifold temptations. You know that word there, temptations, it speaks of adversity. It's not talking about necessarily being tempted to do wrong. It's talking about going through great adversity, great trials of affliction, great difficult situations. And we see there that there are different types of trials. He talks about manifold. There are all kinds of different trials that we go through. They're various in character. Our trials are sometimes physical. Sometimes the trials we go through, they're financial. Sometimes the trials we go through, they're emotional. And sometimes they're spiritual. You know, I believe every one of us, we're going to go through trials like these things. Difficulties in our life. Trials come in many different ways. I read a poem. It said it this way. They may come from heaven. They may come from hell. They may come from a friend. They may come from a foe. They may come from the night, they may come from the light. It may be one kind of trial this week and another next week. How true it is. We all go through difficult situations, and there's all kinds of different types. Secondly, we see here the distressing times of trials. The distressing times. He speaks of heaviness. How heavy it is. It means that heaviness there, it means to distress, to cause grief, to make sorrowful. It's heavy on us. Trials can be distressing. Trials can be very depressing. They can be very devastating on us. They can leave us in a state of being very heavy. We go through, and it's like we're carrying this weight on us. We feel as though, hey, I don't know if I can get through this day, much less face tomorrow. Distressing times. You know, we see the example of this often in Scripture. I think of David. Remember David, the difficulties that he went through. Talk about a man that he saw such difficulties in his life. And one time he said in Psalm 55, verse 6, he said this. He said, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest." He said, hey, I wish I could just fly away from it all. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in a place where you felt like you were such underneath such heavy weight, you wish you could just get away? I mean, if I could just leave the situation, if I could just fly away at night and never come back. That's the way David felt. David understood that. The bottom's falling out of life. That's another way of describing what David was going through. You know, trials, they're painful in their encounter. They're difficult to go through. Secondly, trials we see here that are particular in their experience. They're particular in their experience. I want you to notice three words. I want you to look there, if you would. Look at verse number six once again. These words are so important to us to understand as a child of God when we go through difficulties. See what it says? If need be. If need be. God, if need be, I go through this. I'm willing to go through it as your son. God, if need be, I'm willing to go through this. These are important words for us to remember. Peter is saying that there are sometimes that there is a need for the bottom to fall out of our life. There are sometimes when God wants for us to go through a situation such as we're experiencing, and he has a purpose for it. He has a need for the winds of adversity to come into our life. You know what? Maybe God's way, number one, possibly of breaking us. Sometimes God allows those things to come through that he might break us. I think of the prodigal son. We all know the story. The prodigal son, there he is. Boy, he's just partying, having a great time for a short period of time. Didn't take long. You remember the story, how he came to the very bottom of himself there in a pig's pen, and there he's eating from the pig's trough. He had disobeyed. He had rebelled. He had gone away from his father, which we know is a picture of God. He had left him, and the Bible says that in Luke chapter 15, verse 17, that he came to himself. It took getting to the place where the barrel, literally the bottom fell out of his life, and there he was at the bottom, and there he was on the very bottom looking up, and he had to come to that place for him to come to himself. God used that to bring the prodigal home. You know what? I've seen God use difficulties to bring many a prodigal son home. God will use it. And I'm thankful that God loves us enough that he would. Amen. I'm thankful that God would discipline us. You know, whom the Lord loveth, he also chasteneth. I thank God that I had a father that chastened me as a son, that he disciplined me. And you know what? God loves us even more than our physical fathers love us. God loves us enough that he will discipline us. And there are often times that God will use difficulties and trials to bring us back to him, to break us. The psalmist, he knew about that. In Psalm 119, verse number 67, he said this, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray." Look at the next word. It says, "But." "But now have I kept thy word." God used that affliction when he went astray to get him back into line that he might keep his word. Hey, listen, God does all of that because he loves us. God does that because he wants for us to live a life that would bring honor and glory to him. And hey, this psalmist, he understood that. He says, "I was afflicted because I went astray. Hey, but listen up. But now have I kept thy word. Now I'm following after you." The psalmist admits the point that he had strayed, but now he's back on track because of the affliction that God had allowed to come into his life. You know, God has brought many down and brought many back by letting the bottom fall out. You know, one I think of is Naomi. You can find the story. You all know the story about Ruth and chapter 1 and verse number 20 and 21. I want you to listen to the words that she said. "And she said unto them, Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again. Why then call me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me." Hath afflicted me. You know, we see the story there. See, they're outside of God's will, and God used those circumstances to bring them back. God used it to get her attention. You know, one thing said another one in my mind is you can't think of this and not think of Jonah. Here's Jonah running away from God, running from God's will for his life, being disobedient and rebellious in his heart toward God. And you remember what it took to get his attention. Boy, spending the night in the belly of a whale. I'll tell you what, that'd be rough, wouldn't it? Can you imagine being in the belly of a whale? I mean, more than one night. Can you imagine what it'd be like? I can't even comprehend it, but here he was in the belly of a whale. It turned things around in his life. God got a hold of him. You know, this you can be certain of. I've heard this saying, and I believe it's a good one. You leave the light, and then will come the night. If you leave the light, then will come the night. You turn away from God. You turn away from God's direction in your life. You can mark it down that night is coming, that God is going to try to get your attention because he loves you. Another one has said this, trials are God's megaphone to get our attention. God wants to get our attention. Yes, it may be that God's wanting to break us through that trial. Secondly, it may be God's way of building us. You know, there's some folks going through trials. It's not because of the sin that they've done. It's not because of anything they've done wrong. Like I was saying earlier, I mean, God, why are you letting me go through this? I've been serving you. I've been faithful to you. God, hey, listen, I've given my whole life to you. And look what you're letting happen in my life. God, why? You know, it might be that God is wanting to build you or build us. God wants to work on us. Someone has said this, that trials are God's divine gymnasium whereby he develops our spiritual muscles. God puts us through that to develop us. Peter said this in chapter 5 and verse number 10 of 1 Peter. He said this, "But the God of grace who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." God's going to allow us oftentimes to go through difficulties after we've suffered for a while, that He might perfect us, that He might establish us and strengthen us. God will let us go through that. You know, we understand this in our world in which we live. And you look at the army, look at the navy. You look at what they do to prepare men for battle. You know, men that are going off to the mission field and men that are pastoring, men that are serving God, we're in the Lord's army. God oftentimes, He'll use things to spiritually prepare us for that battlefield. It's like, I think of the Navy SEALs. Every year in October, they have a training time to train Navy SEALs out in California. And the period of this tremendous trial and psychological training, it begins on a Sunday night. On that Sunday night, the lights, they flash, and they're waking them up in the middle of the night, and they begin by, men get up and they stand at attention to their officer, they begin by shooting a machine gun blanks in one ear, and they've got water shooting in their other ear. Meanwhile, the sergeant's telling them to pay attention. We have a mission to perform this evening. I want you to listen to everything I have to say in every detail. And the mission that night, it said that they go out and they work out till they get drenched out there, and they lay on wet, almost naked, on cold steel plates as they lay there. They're trying to condition them. On Monday, the six-man teams are ordered to run a race of 200 with a 250-pound Kodiak rubber boat on top of their head, and they run all day, and literally they're driven right to the very end of what they can endure. They let them go to bed. After 1 hour, they wake them up on Tuesday, and they go out again, and they take those Zodiac boats, and they go 18 miles into Mexican water and then back again. On Wednesday, the men, they continue the race and bounce the boats on their heads, and they go in their combat boots, and they're sinking in the sand. Can you imagine carrying those things? They run again that evening. At midnight, they're ordered. Literally, they go out. They have them sit down inside the surf, have all their clothes off, and they have to get up every few minutes to experience all the wind and the cold. By Thursday morning, it's said that everyone is hallucinating. They've been pushed so far. And by Friday afternoon, the week is over, and the new SEALs, they are lined up, they're checked by a doctor. Now here's a question. What's the Navy doing? Why are they doing this? Why are they putting these men? I think we know the answer to that. They are conditioning these men to be some of the strongest men on the face of this earth, to be some of the toughest men on the face of this earth. You know what? God, He has a Lord's arm. He has His army, and He conditions us. He will put us through trials. He'll put us through difficulties. He will put you through some things maybe as you're out on deputation. And He'll put you still through some challenges. Why? Because He's preparing you for what you're going to face there on the battlefield and that ministry that God has called you to, that mission field that God has called you to. You can mark it down that, hey, listen, you're going through a difficulty right now, and if God's trying to make you, He's doing it for your good. He's doing it that you'll be that soldier that He wants you to be. God allows these things to happen in our life to build us and to make us strong. Thirdly, it may be that God's way of blessing us. That trial you're going through, it may be because God's wanting to bless you. You know, most people, we want God's blessing without paying anything for it. Man, I want God to bless me, but I don't want to have to work for it. I want God to bless me, but I don't want to have to go through a difficulty. I don't want to have to pay the price for it. That's what people want. But you know what? That's not how it works. It comes at a price. If we're going to be all that God wants us to be, it's going to come at a price. If we're going to be the soldier in God's army that God wants us to be, the missionary, the pastor, the man of God that God wants us to be, the person that God wants us to be, hey, listen, we're going to have to go through challenges. I heard someone say this, the thickest cloud may bring the heaviest shower of blessings. How true that is. Have you not seen that to be true in your life? Man, I've seen that in my life. The most difficult times in my life, I look back and I can see them. And it's just amazing. As I look at the path that God has put me on in my life, and I look at the most difficult, the darkest times of my life, at the time I might not have seen it this way, but now I look back at it and I realize those were the most wonderful times, the blessings, as I saw God do the miraculous, as I saw God bless me in such a way, as I saw God's hand, God working in my life. Hey, listen, if I hadn't gone through that difficulty, I never would have seen that. I never would have experienced that. Oftentimes, God, He'll allow us to go through these difficulties that He might bless us, that He might work through us. Brother Manning yesterday was speaking about great men of God that have been depressed. One of the ones that he mentioned is Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon, one of the things that really caused him to get into depression in his life was from an incident that happened many, many years at the very beginning of his ministry. Charles Spurgeon, he began conducting services there at the Royal Serai Garden Music Hall in London. The building sat 12,000 people. Can you imagine in that day not having a sound system inside a building with 12,000 people? I can't imagine that, but they had more than that showed up. They had 10,000 people, they said, that would line up around the building. Can you imagine what type of atmosphere that must have been? Can you imagine? I mean, I'd love to have been able to have been there in one of those services. That would have been great. But, you know, Spurgeon was a great man of God. And, you know, if you're going to be a man that's going to take a great stand for God and do anything great for God, you can mark it down. The devil's going to try to attack you. He's going to try to destroy you. And sometimes, even though men mean it for evil, God can mean it for good. And here's a situation, the story is told about there was a group of young men that had, they didn't like what was going on, and they had conspired to disrupt the service. They decided what they were going to do is while Spurgeon was up there, and as he began to preach, they were going to yell out, and what they did is they yelled out, "Fire, fire!" They said that the galleries are falling, and panic broke out, and the people began to run out of the building. History tells us that 7 people were trampled or killed that night. There were 28 people that were seriously injured, and they were in the hospital. I don't know about you, but I can't imagine what it would be like to see something like that happen at a service, but it really hit Spurgeon hard. It broke his heart. And you want to talk about a trial. You want to talk about something that was heavy. It's said that the tragedy almost caused him to leave the ministry. He was broken. He went through difficulties, but years later, he was able to say that God had brought good even in that tragedy. This is what he said in his autobiography. Quote, he said this. He said that frightful calamity, the impression of which can never be erased from my mind, became in the providence of God one of the wonderful means of turning public attention to the services. And I do not doubt that fear, that fearful catastrophe, though it was, has been the mother of multitude blessings. You know, I believe that that's the case in our life. And we look back at those things and we see that God, he allows us to go through difficulties. And you know, at the time, we might not understand it. But we might not even understand it in this life. But I believe that one day in heaven, we're going to be able to understand better all the difficulties that we go through, all the trials that we face. We're going to understand why God has allowed us to go through them. And it's going to be for our blessing, I believe that. Thirdly and lastly and very quickly, we see that trials, not only are they painful in their encounter and particular in their experience, but trials that are productive in their effect. They're productive in their effect. In verse number 7, we see that Peter, he tells us that the end result of the bottom falling out is twofold. First of all, there is a life that is purified. A life that is purified. Look at what he says there. In verse number 7, he speaks of faith being tried with fire. Being tried with fire. You know, Peter, he had in mind literally the goldsmith taking that imperfect metal and putting it inside that and exposing it to such intense heat that it would melt that. And it said that he would actually put that in the smelting furnace and heat that to a point where he could literally see his face reflected in that molten gold, to a place where he could see clearly. That he could see it. You know, the end result of the bottom falling out of life is confronted sin, number one. It might be confessed sin. And it might be cleansing sin. God wants to purify us. God wants us to be perfect. God wants to cleanse us. You know, every one of us, we're sinners. We all know it. We all fall short of God's glory. God can use, even if it's a blessing, there's a blessing being purified for God to purify us, that God would use us. Hey, listen, I want to be a vessel that is worthy of God's use. I want for God to be glorified in my life. And if it means going through the furnace, if it means going through the fire, if it means being put to a situation where God has to get those imperfections, those impurities out, that he might be glorified, hey, listen, it's worth it. It's worth it. Secondly and lastly, there is a Lord that is glorified. A Lord that is glorified. Not only is there a life that is purified, but a Lord that is glorified. Yeah. You know, why does the bottom fall out of life? Look at verse number 7. Look at the last part. Look what it says. That we might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Oh, listen, that's what I desire. I desire at the appearing of Jesus Christ that I be found. something that would bring honor and glory to Him. I want for my life to bring honor and glory to Him. And hey, listen, my life, if I did it myself, if all I had was what I want, and if all I had was ease, I would never be able to perform this right here, that my life be found praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The reason why we go through these difficulties, the reason why we face these hardships in our life, is that God would be glorified in our life. That's what I desire. That's what my purpose is. You see, that's what He was after all the time when He put you through that to begin with, was that He would receive honor and glory from our life. Let's all stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed as we pray. Lord, I thank You and praise You. Lord, even in difficulties, even in trials, even in hardships, Lord, I'm thankful that You are in control, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to Your purpose. And Lord, You've called us. You have a purpose for our life, and Lord, that purpose is that You would be glorified. Lord, we thank You and praise You. Lord, oftentimes we do ask why. I just pray, Lord, that we would have the right attitude. I pray, Lord, that we would understand that You have a great plan. Lord, I thank You that even though we might not understand, that You give us peace that passeth all understanding as we praise You and thank You for what You have done. You tell us to rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, that, Lord, we have reason to. We thank You. We praise You. In Jesus' name, amen.